This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. Now, former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak is making headlines in more ways than one of late. He's triggered a debate on the efficacy of generic medicines after being warded in Hospital Kuala Lumpur recently. Najib's special aide and family members made allegations that a change in his medication was to blame for the spike in his high blood pressure.
But Health Minister Kari Jamaluddin has denied this and said that Najib was given the same medicine, but a generic brand, as this was given at the government hospital he's in, and his previous medicine was privately bought from a private hospital. While Kari emphasised that the medicine is the same with the same formula, Najib's defence counsel Tan Sri Shafi Abdullah disputed this by saying that Najib's blood pressure only began to come down to normal after taking the medication, after his medication was restored to the original medication which he had been taking earlier.
Sounds like a placebo.
Maybe.
So the question we're asking this morning is, are there any clear differences in the efficacy between generic medicines and brand name medicines? And for some answers, we speak to Dr. Mark Cheong, Deputy Head of School at the School of Pharmacy of Monash University, Malaysia. Mark, good morning. Thank you as always for joining us. Now, generic drugs can look quite different from their brand name counterparts, but what are the main differences between them in terms of composition, efficacy, and price? Is there anything that we should take note of?
Well, good morning. Effectively, generic medicines are a chemical copy of the original brand, and they have the same active ingredients, and really they are supposed to work exactly the same way. In fact, for a generic medicine to be produced, it actually has to meet the same quality, strength, and purity standards as the branded ones. So effectively, we are confident they will have the same benefits and effects. Now, you have mentioned that there are some differences, and these are largely cosmetic. So what we do see is that generic medicines often differ in the perhaps color, size, shape, packaging. And this can sometimes come down to things like differences in the inactive ingredients, such as the fillers, binders, or even the flavors. But these don't actually affect how the medicine works. The key difference, however, between branded medicines and generic medicines is the price. They can be as low as perhaps 85% cheaper than the branded medicines that are on the market.
So, Mark, can I just clarify, then why do some patients claim that there is a difference when they take the generic versus the branded form of medication?
Well, I heard earlier on mentioned the placebo effect. That can be one of it. And I think in some cases, perhaps for some specific types of medicines where perhaps the tolerance to the medicine can be quite sensitive, there are some isolated incidences where we may prefer to have the patient stick to the same brand. But by and large, for the vast majority of cases, there shouldn't be no difference.
So can you just tell me and understand how big is the use of generic drugs in Malaysia's government and private hospitals and healthcare then?
Well, the use of generic medicines in recent years has actually formed the bulk of the usage of medicines in both the public and private sector. In fact, the use of branded medicines has actually been on a downward trend since 2007. Where it actually represented around 67% of the pharmaceutical market share. But since 2013, they've actually been overtaken by the generic medicines. And I think currently, right now, generic medicines represent upwards of 55% of the market share.
And Mark, you were talking about just the differences. I mean, in terms of public acceptance, do you find a lot of pushback against generic drugs in Malaysia? And are there common misconceptions about generic medicines that people have?
Well, at the very beginning, I think there was some degree of pushback from the public. But I would say actually over the last decade, public acceptance of generic medicines has actually been quite steady, in large part due to people seeing the large cost savings involved, as well as many patients actually having a good experience of using generic medicines, and naturally through a lot of education and awareness efforts of pharmacists and doctors alike. Now, at the very beginning, of course, we had all these misconceptions, such as things like, thinking perhaps the medicines were cheap knockoff copies or even fake medicines. Perhaps even thinking things like side effects were more common with generic medicines. But I think with experience and with time, many people have realized this is not true. And certainly the cost savings, trumps over a lot of some of these fears.
And since we have you on the line, can you give us an update on the medicine shortage situation? Because I do believe the Malaysian Medical Association is launching a survey asking government doctors to report on the situation of antibiotic shortages at their hospitals.
Right. I think it overall, from as far as I've observed, the medication shortage situations seems to have improved somewhat, but we are seeing shortages in certain classes of medicines in a specific geographic locations. And this may actually reflect the issues of unequal distribution and some inefficiencies in the supply chain. That being said, I think our generic pharmaceutical industry is ramping up production to try to sort that out shortly, but we are keeping an eye on the situation.
What about the shortages that were reported in the private healthcare sector that we saw in July? Has that eased?
I believe that has eased somewhat, certainly with the help and collaboration with the Ministry of Health, which in many cases had chosen to open up the doors of its stores to share supplies with those who urgently needed it.
And you said just now there was an issue about geographic distribution of the lack of medication. Is this an issue about supply chain, not about budgets, right? Because there is medicine available due to financial requirements. It's just that it's not being distributed accurately. What is the principle of the distribution then?
Well, certainly, I think some parts of Malaysia, as we all know, still face logistical challenges in order to have medicines sent to them on a regular basis. So you can have the budgets and still face difficulties in getting medicines to some of the more perhaps remote areas or even to areas in East Malaysia. But that being said, the shortage of budget for pharmaceuticals within the public health system is a constant problem.
And, let's take a bigger picture. There's been a lot of coverage about this healthcare white paper about increasing the budget to 5%, right? And as we are heading to budget 2023, what's your expectation about, the size of the healthcare budget for budget 2023? I think it's not practical to hit 5% immediately, right?
Well, I would dispute that. I think 5% is a good number. And certainly with the since the COVID-19 pandemic, we've realized over the years how fragile our public health system has become. So my personal hope is really with the healthcare white paper, having its effect, hopefully we'll see a far greater allocation of budget, especially for pharmaceuticals and drugs with the public health sector. You see, at least with the public health sector, the more money you give into it, it effectively translates into a larger proportion of the population being able to get the healthcare that they need. So I think it's really a good investment for the country.
Mark, over the years, right, the cost of private healthcare has been escalating. And one of the issues, of course, is the price of drugs. Do you think one of the reforms that we perhaps should look at is to take out the prescription or at least the giving of medicines away from the doctors to the pharmacies instead so that me as a consumer, I can do a bit of shopping around, but ensuring that the drug I'm taking still has the same level of efficacy?
Well, we certainly believe that the most, not only the most cost-effective, but the safest way to ensure that people get the medicines that they need at the right prices is for doctors to give prescriptions to their patients for medicines, where they can then go to pharmacies to actually collect their medicines, effectively giving the consumer the choice of where to get their medicines from, as you said, perhaps even shopping around to find trusted pharmacies where they can get medicines at prices in which they can afford. So this is something that the pharmacists in this country have certainly championed for, and is, as you know, it is a global practice around the world. Malaysia is one of the few outliers where we don't actually practice this.
Do you think there's any value in encouraging more pharmaceutical investments into this country to actually do manufacturing of drugs in this country? Do you think that will bring down the cost of drugs here?
Well, it certainly will, and in fact, it certainly has. I think one of the reasons why we've been able to sustain our public health system for so long is because we've been able to actually support it through the large use of generic medicines, many of which are actually produced within the country. And again, this would not have been available if we actually didn't have this growing pharmaceutical industry in the country. I think with COVID-19, again, it's shown us how much we actually need to be able to produce medicines locally as far as possible, and certainly looking at vaccines for the near future.
Mark, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Mark Cheong, Deputy Head at the School of Pharmacy at Monash University, Malaysia, weighing in on the debate, clarifying that there's really no difference in efficacy between generic and brand name drugs.
And I guess the key question now is, I mean, extending beyond this case specifically, right, which is, I think, borderline ridiculous now. But the question more is our healthcare budget. How do we get bang for buck? How do we move towards efficiency? And yes, I think generics seem to be a very key strategy, right, on how we need to bring down costs so we deliver returns for our public, right? And I think that's why the healthcare white paper talks about the 5% GDP. We need that money, but how do you allocate that money is going to be very key.
Yeah, but pharmaceutical reform is just one part of the equation, right? There's so many other aspects to it. Of course, the question marks about whether we have the right number of the doctors and the right doctors in the right fields of specialization, whether we're giving enough considerations to things like nursing. I think we have ignored this quite a fair bit, actually. And we do know mental health of the healthcare workers is not the best because they've been put under a lot of pressure. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the outcome of the white paper and the importance of it in that it is accepted by the opposition, by the current government, and that it has longevity to ensure that our healthcare system is exactly where it needs to be for the future, not just for today, but for the future.
So if you look at the newspapers today, long waiting queues and lines actually at the healthcare system, the debate is that 5% of GDP, can you do that now with our fiscal challenges that we have right in government is the big question. But as you know, we just came up from a pandemic as well.
Yeah, maybe spend less on things which aren't so important.
7:59 in the morning. We are heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to Chan Wai Liu, the CEO of AME REIT. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.